Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about tithing, giving, and the scriptures. And we've been laying some groundwork about what the scriptures say in the Old Testament, and then in the transition time, and now we're in the New Testament regarding what Jesus said about tithing. Our goal is not just to learn, but to also apply. And one of the things we run into is this whole idea of developing good judgment. Now, judgment is not a real popular word these days. There seems to be a misunderstanding about what judgment is. Really, all we're talking about is being able to evaluate using the standard of truth. Now, we have some questions about what truth is and about who gets to evaluate what. And those are beyond the scope of our teaching here, but we do, for our purposes, always come back to what is God telling you. We have many scriptures in our topic, tithing and giving, many scripture references. But clearly, from one church to another, their conclusions based on those scriptures vary greatly. One church will say one thing, another fellowship will say another. So we can't say that we're going to use those scriptural verses as the standard by which to measure how we're doing. There's not clarity. And may I say, I don't think that's an appropriate use of scriptures, because scriptures never claim for themselves that they are a substitute for the Holy Spirit. And again, we'll get into this and have gotten into it in other teachings, but the reason we're going through this topic from a scriptural standpoint is because it's taught and misused and often used to manipulate and guilt people into parting with their money without accountability. And this is where we get into the whole judgment thing, the accountability. There's this idea that if you tithe, according to what people are taught, if you tithe, then that's all you need to know, is that you're doing what God has told you to do, so you are not in a position to question how the money is spent. And this is something we definitely want to evaluate in terms of being, you know, if we want to get into being a good steward. But the whole idea that, you know, you do your part and the church will do their part, that is not scriptural. And what we've seen throughout the whole book of Malachi, for instance, was this whole notion kind of taken to its ultimate degree, its final destination, that the priests in charge told the people, you need to tithe, but we're going to do whatever we want with it, and you can't say anything about it. And to arrive at those ends, they stopped teaching the people the reason for tithing, the true practicality, and how the whole all the other facets of what it took to be the people of God. How to love one another, how to live amongst other people groups and maintain an identity, a godly identity. Many other facets that, because the people were not taught, they failed to accomplish those other requirements. God required an accounting from the priesthood. And when Jesus comes, likewise, that's who he requires an accounting of, how the people were taught. Now, in our day and time, because we have access to God, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, we have the opportunity to be able to learn for ourselves, to know God, and to respond to his drawing and his leading. So he's going to be the one to do the final judging. But we don't, because we are in him, we likewise are learning how to develop good judgment. He is the one teaching us how to develop that judgment, not our own intellect in, for instance, learning scriptures or being in the right church at the right time or being in on the latest revelation. But the more we learn to know him and are actively learning to live as a spirit being, he develops our judgment. And with that comes the recognition of, for instance, wasteful spending. Or perhaps, you know, we're seeing so many churches now expanding by building a bigger church. And yet, on the other hand, many churches are expanding by building satellite churches. And to try to differentiate between what is really expanding, is increasing numbers, number of attendance, does that mean that God is involved, or is it just a great marketing technique? So God is going to ask you, why did you support something that I was not involved in, if he's not involved in something? In other words, there's no area of our life that he is not interested in being involved in. So just because you have been taught that this is how a Christian handles finances, and you've been doing it, and it's been fine, and it's worked, you've never had a problem with it, it doesn't really bother you, or it's starting to bother you, starting to have questions, but when you raise those questions, you get a little pushback from your fellowship. How are you spending the money? You know, how come, you know, I can't question you about how the money is being spent, or if maybe there's a better way to do things. Those are things that God does want to talk to you about. We all have treasures. We all have things that we can develop and have an input into God's presence on this earth. And how we do that is part of our relationship with God. We've talked before about our new nature being a giving nature, and that one of the signs of a true spirit being who is seeking and knowing God in relationship with God is that attitude of gratitude. So there are character aspects that are being developed within us, but also good judgment is being developed within us. Sometimes we'll know why something is a good idea or a bad idea, and sometimes we won't. But the more we hear directly from God and are able to discern his voice and test it, the more confidence we will have. So even without being able to defend our viewpoint or to be able to convince others, we can still have that confidence that the direction or that we're sensing is going in the wrong direction or the right direction, we can have confidence that what we're hearing from God is true. Now, because we may not be able to defend our position, puts us in a position of when we are confronted about it, how do we handle that? If we are sensing, okay, this is, you know, something is going on here that isn't lining up with what I see God doing, sometimes that may lead to a break with that fellowship. But others, it may be just, okay, your whole responsibility then is to not contribute to it financially. So just as everything else, you are going to have to decide from God. Now, there's going to be some practical aspects of that. If you are held at arm's length, if you are treated differently because you do not blindly accept the authority that is being exerted over you that you may not consider to be from God. Remember, God is the head. God is your head. He is your shepherd. There's no co-shepherd. There's no other mediator between you and God other than Christ. So you don't need somebody else telling you what God wants you to do other than God himself. He may use other people to confirm and encourage and even correct, but it's still going to line up with what God is saying to you. And again, knowing how to test it, test what you're hearing, test what you're believing, test what your history is. But there's going to be opportunity. Every aspect of our life is opportunity to test what we believe and to develop new character. And that character is going to line up with living as a spirit being with God's character, as God's character. So that's why we're looking at the scriptures right now for what they say about the tithing and the giving. We will be getting into much more practical applications, but as these things come up, and this often happens, is as we are stumble across or just happen to run across a topic that is speaking to our situation, we just have to assume that that's what God intended. So we are always going to turn you back to not being focused on finding out how the scriptures apply in your situation, but going to God with your situation, saying, Lord, what do I do in this situation as a spirit being? Knowing that tithing and giving are part of the activities that is a controversy in the church. Lord, I want to do and learn and be and what you want me to be doing in this situation. As a spirit being, what do you say? And very often what you'll find out is in these kinds of situations, a lot of other issues come up. A lot of other issues about authority in the church or in your fellowship, what's more important, you know, the friendships, the social aspects of being in a group versus, okay, if they're not lining up with something you believe God is teaching you, a lot of difficult things. You know, a lot of times we have children going, you know, attending school at a particular fellowship, and when we find out we are not in alignment with some things that are being taught, how do we handle that? And this is the whole point is you, just as in any other area, you're going to have to take it on a situation-by-situation basis. Some things are obvious. Some things you're not going to have to question about for yourself. For instance, you don't have to go to the Lord and ask him if it's okay to steal your neighbor's car. Okay, it will never be okay for you to steal your neighbor's car. So there are things we don't need to ask. Murder is never okay. Adultery is never okay. Things like that. What we want to look at instead is, okay, in these situations that are between two things, and one aspect, one way to approach it is remembering that the Lord says, this is bad, this is good, not because he has this huge long list of things that are pleasing to him and another long list of things that are not pleasing to him. But those things that he says, don't do this, what we call sin, they are on the don't do list because they are bad for us. They are not arbitrary. So when we look at these situations, one of the questions to ask is this healthy? Is this a positive thing for me? Is this a healthy thing for the group? Or does it stifle communication? Are things being done in secret? Would I want my children to be in the same situation I'm in? Would I want a friend to be in the same situation I'm in? How can I explain what the situation is in terms of, is this good for us? Is this something God is pleased with? And come at it from other perspectives. Come at it from other viewpoints. Not just, okay, this is what the scripture says. If I'm doing this, am I off the hook? Because absolutely not. You're not off the hook. Because you're on God's relationship hook. And he is much more interested in your relationship with him than whether you're tithing or not, or whether you're giving or not. So if you're at a church where God is not saying, okay, this is not an issue, just go ahead and tithe, I want to talk to you about this other issue over here, this is much more important, go ahead and do it. Because that's not the point. The point now is your relationship with God. Now, next week, he may say, okay, now we're going to come back to this tithing thing. What's important for you is what's important from God. And this always comes back to your ability to hear him. And why we're spending so much time on tithing is because this is an area, our finances in general, are such a big part of our lives that because they're so important to us, that's why our finances are important to God. So the more it becomes less important, the less time God very likely spends time with it. So, and that's another way to look at what is God talking to you about. Because there's a good indication of what's really on your heart, what's really on your mind, is what he's really talking to you about. And by being able to say, everything's on the table, God, I'm willing to talk to you about this. I'm willing to talk to you about leaving this church or staying or being losing friends or being, you know, more involved or less involved, whatever the case may be. When we're willing to go wherever he wants to go, then he's able to put his finger on whatever he wants to change within us, bring our flesh and our soul into subjection to our spirit, remove the flesh, and accomplish the goals that he has for each one of us individually. So we are reading the scriptures, but it's not for the purpose of developing a strategy, but merely to show that perhaps what you've been taught that the scriptures say isn't what the scriptures say. So it's actually a very simple plan. It's taken us a while to get there because the scriptures, you have to understand the scriptures in context. But the simplicity is that in the Old Testament, tithing was never separate from a list of things that God required. And in transition, we'll also see where Jesus sort of blended, took the law into and foreshadowed the law in the New Testament and how he fulfilled the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it's the law of love, which he himself accomplished. So then now we're going into seeing what the New Testament, the New Covenant, says about tithing versus giving. And it's not so we can figure out, okay, so now that I don't tithe, this is how I give, but rather than what is behind it. Why is God spend time about giving, about finances, and if I am a giving person, how am I supposed to handle the finances? Because finances are a big part of our lives, just practically speaking, and it's always been that way. So it's not about trying to get out from under the culture, you know, being materialistic or being infatuated with who's got the bigger car. There's always been controversy about it, ever since there's been, you know, two people, you know, having a house side by side. So don't get caught up in, okay, the way that pleases God is to get rid of everything, or the opposite. Whoever has the most when he dies wins. It's neither. It's you find out what God wants to say to you about your finances and go from there. And if there's something going on in your fellowship or in your family, you deal with that from his standpoint. And don't let it become a distraction to you from having that confidence that you're hearing from him and you are moving forward in the process that he has for you, the training process. So we'll get back into, we've been talking about the Pharisees. And this is, we're still in the transition. This is in the scriptures, it's in the New Testament. In other words, it's, you know, past in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the New Testament, the New Covenant, didn't start until the resurrection. So even though it's in the New Testament, it's still pre-resurrection. So it is still under the law of Moses. But this is where Jesus is showing how he fulfilled the old law, and by doing so, ushered in the law of giving. So in Matthew and Luke, Jesus exposed the Pharisees' motives for insisting on the tithing. And he went through and showed them how, by their insistence on tithing, they left out the motive behind it, which was to care for people, to care for those who needed their help, and to care for those who were to actually do the ministry. And so they cared so much about the letter of the law, they left out the intent. And obviously, of course, the Pharisees got a little mad about that, about being exposed, and we all know what the ultimate result of that was. So now we're going to look at, in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, the Pharisees, how they saw themselves. They had a hard time seeing themselves through other eyes because the only people they hung out with were people who believed the same way. And that's one of the problems we see in our churches and across the board, any denomination or non-denomination, is those in leadership have a tendency to hang out with other leaders. And it's very often, it's difficult for those who are, shall we say, in the congregation or laity. It's hard for laity to see how the leadership is actually living their lives, let alone how the business meetings are going. It's all done behind a door and in secret. And even that whole distinction between leadership and laity, there's a language difference. There's a, you know, control difference. And in one sense, that's always been there, and until, you know, who knows what God's going to have to do to get rid of that. But Jesus picks the people from who are teachable. And being teachable is usually not one of the top requirements for being in leadership. That's a whole other topic. So Luke 18:9-14. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now again, Jesus' illustration was meant to expose the misconception about the purpose of the law. The law was not meant to separate those who could perform from those who could not. Instead, the purpose of the law is to expose an equal need for a Savior. So again, it's not whose side are you on. It's what is God saying to you. So we can conclude for doing this time, this is probably one of the, if as far as we can tell, the shortest age. When Jesus walked the earth, that 33 years, as he was fulfilling the law, before the law was fulfilled and the new law of life, the life of love, the law of love came to be at the resurrection. That's probably the shortest law age, except for the age of those 3 days he was in the ground. But we'll get into that as well another time. So during that transition, we can recognize that Jesus never told anyone to tithe. He never went back and said, "You're not fulfilling all the law." Instead, he challenged those who claimed they were fulfilling the law and said, you're missing the intent. His gripe, his complaint was just as in God's complaint through the prophets in the Old Testament, the complaints were with the Pharisees, those who represented God. So for you and I, now instead of going to somebody else to represent God for us, we can go to God. Jesus, again, he never told anyone to tithe. In fact, every reference to tithing was in the negative sense. He only directed his rebukes to the Pharisees, or those who considered themselves above, the elite, the religious, the productive, the list keepers, the God pleasers of their day. So that leads us to the time of grace, the age of grace, the fullness of times, post-resurrection under grace. And so we're going to look and see what the apostles wrote and taught about tithing versus giving. And again, the purpose is for us to be able to go to the Father and find out what he wants us to do regarding this issue. and it may or may not cause controversy in the situation you're in. But if it does, if God is rocking the boat, don't try to stop it. But if he's not, it's not your job, unless he specifically tells you to, it's not your job to make an issue out of it. You're going to have parameters and questions, and if you are going to have to do it on a situation-by-situation basis, but that's what God is there for. You are a spirit being. You can hear from him. This is not one-size-fits-all. He has put you in that circumstance so he can teach you himself. So thanks for tuning in. If you do have questions about it, if you want some counsel, feel free to drop me a line, and I'll see if I can help you or direct you or even help you frame your questions for God so he can direct you personally. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainer's Radio. Have a great night, and I'll see you again next week.